Lecture topic, prioritizing Deen at all times.
والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أحب البلاد إلى الله مساجدها وأبغض البلاد إلى الله أسواقها أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected one of my kiram, brothers and members. Every human being, any person who's sane, who has the correct understanding, then he has certain priorities in life. And he will do things as per the priorities. It's a common thing, straightforward thing. A person has a situation. That situation is such that either he is going to save his life or he's going to save his wealth. It's such a situation, a hijacking or whatever. And it's either or. It's human nature that he's going to now say, okay, let that car go, let that wealth go, inshallah, Allah will replace it. But if the life goes, then the life is gone. So he will care for his life first, and then try to save the wealth if he can. If it's a matter of between his wealth and his health also, he has a situation where he needs to now undergo some operation. They say, look, if you don't do this, it's going to become a big problem. Then you are going to probably be paralyzed or whatever else might be the case. You won't be able to function at all. So now he'll spend his last cent. And if he doesn't have any left, he might borrow from somebody also. That please, I need to get this operation done. So now he's spending everything he has. He's even selling off some items. For what? For the protection of his health. Now these are priorities. Now generally it will be his wealth, then his health, then his life on top of that. But a mu'min doesn't stop there. Above every priority of a mu'min is his iman. And if it comes to a point where he has to give up any wealth for the protection of his deen and iman, that will be fine. He rather give the wealth up, but don't compromise his deen. Don't compromise his iman. And it comes to a point where it's iman and life, he'll give his life for his iman also. So the point is that this is the priority of a mu'min, his iman. Now just as we discussed just now, that a person will take care of his health, he might spend his last cent to look after his health also. And indeed, this body is also an amanat from Allah Ta'ala. You're going to look after it. You don't cause deliberate harm, that too will be accountable for the day of Qiyamah. So just as we look after this health, physical health, and anything that will become a problem for the physical health, we avoid it. Like for example, there's a very polluted area, severe pollution. So now a person doesn't deliberately go to those areas, because the pollution is very heavy, a lot of smog and toxic fumes are in the air. If out of sheer necessity he has to go to such a place, he just can't help it. You'll find a person taking a lot of precautions. Maybe he might forget to put a mask on, he might put an oxygen mask on, because he got no option but to go there. And at the same time he can't risk his life and health. He'll take all this care. So when there's a spirit, when a polluted area which is going to be harmful for his health, to start off with, he won't even go. And if it is something that he cannot avoid, then he'll take a lot of care to make sure that he doesn't get affected by the pollution. Now one is physical pollution. Likewise, a person's spiritual self. When he puts himself in an environment that is spiritually polluted, then his spiritual self gets affected. So now just as a person is very conscious about this, that he doesn't want to affect his health, doesn't want to be in a place that's going to become a problem for his health, even more important for a mu'min is, he won't put himself in an environment, in a spiritually polluted environment, because his iman will be at stake. It will affect his deen. It will affect his relationship with Allah Ta'ala. It might become a barrier in the progress of his deen. So he will not take chances. He'll be very, very careful. And this is a lesson that has been highlighted to us in deen. The lesson of the environment that we keep ourselves in, the company that we associate with, that it is al-mar'u ala deeni khaleelihi falyanzur ahadukum man yukhalil. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, person will follow the way of his friend. Meaning who he accompanies, who he associates with. So now beware of who you befriend, because if that friend, mashallah, is of the right direction, somebody who's got the right thinking, somebody who's concerned about the right things, somebody who wants to get closer to Allah Ta'ala, he doesn't want to be on the path of shaitan and nafs, then mashallah, you're going to associate with him. Inshallah, that will rub off onto you also. You also will become conscious about it. You'll be also careful about what you do, where you go. And if it's the other way around, he's somebody not concerned about where he goes, what he does. He has little consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. He just goes headlong into the traps of nafs and shaitan. So now somebody who's going to associate with him, going to finish off in the same place. And the effects of company cannot be avoided. No matter what a person may say or do, but if he associates in a certain company, very good company, he's a person sometimes who doesn't have any inclination to perform his salah also, let alone anything else. But now he's joined that company, and now the azan has gone, and they are moving towards the masjid, it'll be impossible for him to sit behind and say, okay, I'll go, I'll be sitting here. Maybe he'll do it once or twice. Eventually he is going to be going to the masjid with them. That's the effect of company. And Allah forbid if that company is going to some haram place. So once he might say, look, I'm not coming. Second time he might do that. By the third time, he may ask when you're going. By the third time, he might become the person who's stirring it. Because the effects of company can never ever be escaped. And this has been highlighted in the Hadith Sharif, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives an example. مَثَلُ جَلِيسِ الصَّالِحِ وَجَلِيسِ السُّوءِ كَحَامِلِ الْمِسْكِ وَنَافِخِ الْكِيلِ. Example of a good friend and an evil friend. The good friend, كَحَامِلِ الْمِسْكِ, an ithr seller. Somebody who sells ithr. So now, mashallah, the person has ithr all the time with him. That's what he sells, so that's what he keeps. You jump in his car, you'll find ithr in there also, some cases of ithr. You go to his house, he'll have some stock kept there as well. Wherever you go to visit him, wherever you associate with him, you cannot avoid having taken some part of that ithr. And therefore Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then expands it, that for hamilul misk, as far as the person who's an ithr seller, what will be the case? Imma ayyuhdiyak. You'll go to visit him, he'll want to share something with you, he'll share what he has. He'll share some ithr, he'll give you a bottle of ithr as a gift. If he doesn't give you, you might be tempted to buy. But what you're going to buy is what is there. And what is there is ithr. So you'll buy something good, you'll buy ithr. And if neither of the two happens, he doesn't give you for free as a hadiah, you don't buy it, but you will still get the fragrance. And the other friend, evil friend, وَنَافِخِ الْكِيلِ, the person who is a blacksmith, who is a ironmonger. Now, in those days, all this happened manually. The person had to have a furnace, the fire that is burning in the furnace, and he put the iron and hold it in there. When the iron is red hot, then he will stamp it with his mallet, the whole day, that's his place. His place is at the furnace. Now that's, somebody made a friend of such a person. So you're going to go visit him at his work. You're going to sit with him there. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, فَإِمْ فَنَافِخُ الْكِيرِ إِمَّا أَن يُحْرِقَ ثِيَابَكَ. Not even deliberately, without wanting to, he's going to end up burning you. Because the sparks are flying out of that furnace. Let alone a person who's trying to deliberately cause that harm. Even without trying, he's going to end up burning you. And if he don't burn you, you can't escape the fumes. Those, that smoke in that environment is going to affect you. Now we are heading in that part of the year when the environment becomes supercharged with sin, with vice, with evil. They call it the silly season. Silly season. Call somebody silly, he'll be offended. They take pride in making it their so-called, can we imagine what a world of difference when the special season of a mu'min comes? What is the special season of a mu'min? Month of Ramadan, then the days of Hajj, and then the month of Zulhijjah, and all these times in the year, starting off from Ramadan till around after Hajj, which is a special time. The rest of the time also, mashallah, this is like a super special time. The super special time, the celebrations of a mu'min are all in this time. It's all spiritually charged. Person who's not conscious also at other times, mashallah, his spirituality increases in this time. Person who's involved in deep sin, Allah forbid, but come this time of the year, Ramadan, Dhul-Hijjah, he also says, enough is enough now, I must make tawbah now. So the celebration time of a mu'min, the special seasons of a mu'min, spiritually charge him. Once you get closer to Allah Ta'ala. And what about the special, so-called special time of the disbelievers? That they even leave their intelligence behind, let alone everything else. They call it silly season, meaning you're taking a break from work, taking a break from your job, take a break from your business, also take a break from your intelligence. Put it aside, silly season. But become silly now. So now they become so silly that the be all and end all of that celebration, now it's so called New Year's, it's so called Christmas. So they become so drunk, they can't make out the difference between their own mother and daughter and wife and sister. What kind of the entire environment becomes an environment filled with all kinds of vice, evil. The authorities also have their hands full with all the crime that increases. What kind of season, what kind of life is that? The tragedy is not what they are up to, because you can't expect anything else from them, because they got no iman. When a person has no iman, what else are you going to expect? The tragedy is when people of iman go and join up in that. That is an absolute tragedy. That a mu'min is looking for where he's going to be on New Year's Eve, for example. A mu'min, person with iman in his heart, and he's trying to figure out where he's going to be on New Year's Eve. What he's going to do with New Year's Eve? It's the so-called celebration of what they call the God of Dates. So its origin is in shirk. The origin is in shirk. Now a mu'min, Allah forbid, if it's now, Allah bless somebody with beyond something more, somebody got the Quran Sharif in his heart, Allah has afforded somebody the opportunity of learning deen. So he doesn't go anywhere near these places. And he's got nothing to do with it. Because in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Man kathara sawada qawmin fahuwa minhum. Let alone becoming actively involved, he doesn't be anywhere in the vicinity also. Because man kathara sawada qawmin, the one who adds to the numbers of a people, people involved in some vice, people involved, either I was just spectating, I was just there. I didn't have anything to do with what the activity or whatever was carrying on. I just want to see. Man kathara sawada qawmin fahuwa minhum. He'll be counted among them on the day of Qiyamah. There's one hadith sharif where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that yaghzu jayshul ka'ba. Time will come before Qiyamah. One army will march towards the Kaaba sharif, meaning to come and na'uzubillah destroy the Kaaba sharif. That will be their evil intent. That will be their purpose. Now from wherever they're marching and coming, so now they're heading towards Makkah Mukarrama, and this is their evil intent. So now they're coming, but the Kaaba Sharif is the house of Allah Ta'ala. Allah is the protector of the Kaaba Sharif. So فَإِذَا كَانُوا بِبَيْضَاءَ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ يُخْصَفُ بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ. They'll come past one very open field, huge open land, they'll be crossing on their way. Allah Ta'ala will cause every single one of them to be swallowed up by the earth. That whole army. Every single person will get swallowed up into the earth. So now when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned this, so some Sahaba were a bit surprised that يُخْصَفُ بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ. Every last one of them will be swallowed in the earth. So now what was quite commonly understood and known, according to that, somebody asked the question, what was commonly understood? Now when there's a huge caravan going somewhere, like now an army is going somewhere, whatever, huge number of people traveling together. So in those days, many others will join along, not because they are part of the group, but for what? Well, I will have an opportunity to do some business now, because this whole caravan, this whole army is going, they'll need some food, they'll need to buy things sometimes for some needs. I got the things to sell. He's taking his own things to go purely for trading. No other purpose. Somebody else, he's catching a lift. Now it's safer to go with the whole caravan now. So he's catching a lift, so to say. Somebody else got some other purpose, but they're not part of that intention. So now therefore the Sahaba asks, كَيْفَ يُخْصَفُ بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ وَفِيهِمْ أَسْوَاقُهُمْ وَمَنْ لَيْسَ مِنْهُمْ. Every last one will be swallowed. Some of them are not part of the group in reality. They are just alongside. They've just come for some business. They've come for some other sideline. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, يُخْصَفُ بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ ثُمَّ يُبْعَثُونَ عَلَى نِيَاتِهِمْ. In dunya, when the azab comes, everyone will get swallowed who's there. If somebody's intention was not that evil, on the day of Qiyamah, he'll be then separated. But now in dunya, if a person is in the place of vice and sin, when the azab comes, he's not going to distinguish between who's who. This person is just here by chance. The tsunami, when it comes, it will wipe everyone out. The lesson in this, when the azab comes in different ways. One azab comes in the form of, Allah save us, the calamities that befall people physically. Sometimes it's an earthquake, it's a flood, some other what we term as natural disasters. But these are all by the hukam and the kudrat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That is azab also. Sometimes it's a test on some people who are the true servants of Allah Ta'ala. And for those who are away from deen, it becomes an azab for them. That's one azab. The azab that comes on the physical self of a person, on his property, on things around. We make dua, Allah save us from that as well. There's a most severe azab. The most severe azab is, outwardly it seems nothing happened. Outwardly everything seems very fine. But the azab comes directly on the heart. And when the azab comes on the heart, what the effect of that is, that it snatches away the tawfiq from the person. It takes away every inclination of goodness. Person was making 3 paras tilawat of the Quran Sharif every day. Suddenly he can't bring himself to recite 1 ruku. Person never missed his salah with jama'ah. And with Takbir-e-Ula, he's suddenly making his salah qaza and it's not even affecting him. Not even bringing any kind of concern in him. What did I do? So this is azab on the heart. That Allah Ta'ala's special grace has gone. This azab on the heart now, it kills the inclination towards good also. And as a result, a person just goes headlong into evil. One thing after the other. Spending the whole night on the phone in all kinds of filth and vice. Then fajr is gone. And the next day he's looking for some physical haram. So this becomes the spiral afterwards. Allah save us, Allah protect us. So this is the very serious matter that a mu'min doesn't put himself in any situation that draws azab. Let alone at that point in time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam highlighted this in such a way that subhanallah, what a lesson he left for us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on his way to Tabuk. So now with a huge army, Tabuk, the army was massive, 30,000 plus. And now this huge army is going. One of the most important things in that time was wherever you get water, make sure you fill your water. Because there wasn't water all the time available, anywhere and everywhere. Certain places now you stop, there's some fountain there, there's some well there, whatever. People fill the water, they move on. So now as they were en route, on the way they had to pass through the ruins of Thamud. وَإِلَىٰ ثَمُودَ أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا. The people who, Salih alayhi salatu wasalam, was sent to them, they refused to obey. And then finally the azab of Allah came upon them and all were destroyed. When this happened? Before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, maybe more than 1,000 years. The last Nabi before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. He came 550 years before. So this must have been more than 1,000 years before. More than 1,000 years passed. At that time, nobody living there. Completely deserted. But it was a travel route. So people would stop and draw water from the wells, so the wells were active. So now this army, huge army, many were in front, some in the middle, some behind. So some Sahaba reached earlier in this passing through. So now they're passing through a place where there's water available. So they started drawing the water. Some even used the water to knead their dough, to make bread. They filled it into their containers. And somebody came and informed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that some have already reached this place. They already have now taken water. Maybe just as a point of note, these things have happened already. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, look, all the water that has been taken into the container, which is now like gold now, water traveling in the desert, water is gold, more valuable than gold. Yes. Discard all that water. You know, somebody got like a bag of gold now, tell him, no, throw the bag of gold away. That water was more valuable than gold. Said, discard all that water. What dough was needed, made ready for now, making that roti, the bread, don't consume that. At the most, give it to the animals who eat it. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed the Sahaba and said to them, لا تدخلوا مساكن الذين ظلموا أنفسهم إلا أن تكونوا باكين أيصيبكم مثل ما أصابهم. These people caused zulm upon themselves. They were involved in kufr, in shirk. They rejected the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. 1,000 years have passed now, more than that. But they committed the zulm, as a result, the azab of Allah came upon them. Now you have to pass here out of sheer necessity. There's no other road now. The road is going through this place. So now you got no choice but to pass here. But how should you pass? Now, this is not something to go and sightsee. Not out of now going for a holiday somewhere. It's out of sheer necessity to pass by. How should you pass by? لَا تَدْخُلُوا مَسَاكِنَ الَّذِينَ وَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونُوا بَاكِينَ. Except that you are crying. If your eyes are not crying, at least your heart must cry. Why? Out of fear that that azab that befell them must not come upon you. Now this is when the problem happened, 1,000 years ago. Imagine a person going in a rave club now. While the azab, what's drawing azab, is there right now. Person going to some cinema, going to some place of haram, going to some vice den, going to an environment filled with nudity. I was going to the beach in the December month now. Oh, it's a halat there. He's going to a place where actively sin is taking place. This happened 1,000 years before. And he's going in the midst of where the disobedience of Allah is happening openly, blatantly. If the azab doesn't come on the heart, where else is it going to go? And Allah forbid, it can also come physically at that time. We may have known or heard about the tsunami that happened in 2004 or somewhere around there It happened on the 25th of December, when the beaches throughout the world were full. And it swept up hundreds of thousands of people. It can come physically as well. But the more greater fear for a mu'min is, my heart mustn't get affected and spiritually killed. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the ma'soom Nabi of Allah ta'ala, he too has to pass. So how does he pass? ثُمَّ قَنَّعَ رَأْسَهُ. He covered his Mubarak head with his shawl. Why? Have to pass, you don't want to see anything but. Don't want to even just see what's going on here. Sometimes there's a disaster somewhere, people say, now I'm going to see what's going on. I don't want to see what's going on. فَأَسْرَعَ السَّيْلِ. And he moved swiftly from here, حَتَّى جَازَ الْوَادِ, until he passed it. Went very fast out of it. Can't spend time here also, because the environment is still in, things are lingering in the environment. Now can we imagine something that happened so far away, so long ago, and yet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is taking so much of care. Allah's Nabi is present, Sahaba-e-Kiram are present, the Ashar-e-Mubashara are there, and yet they're so concerned. What's the level of our Iman? So now even let alone places that are places dedicated to vice and sin, even places which are not conducive to Iman, like now a shopping mall, out of sheer necessity, if a person had to pass there, then he'll pass in this way, illa anta kunu baqin, he's not crying. He'll be engaged deeply in zikr and istighfar at that time. And he'll keep his gaze very low. And he'll do what is absolutely necessary and rush out. This is not a place for sightseeing and browsing, or whatever else. Now, this is just one example. The same we can think about whatever else, that our greatest priority is to look after our Iman. And especially those of us who have been afforded this opportunity, we spend this whole year, mashallah, learning Allah's Kalam, trying to bring the commands of Allah in our life, trying to, the entire purpose of all this is to connect ourselves to Allah Ta'ala. The Quran Sharif, Allah says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّتِي نَقَدَتْ غَزْلَهَا مِنْ بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ أَنْكَاثَا. There was one mentally affected woman, deranged. She spent the whole day spinning yarn, making like now cloth, fabric. A very big job, hard work. She spent the whole day doing it. At the end of the day, she'll tear it apart. And for example, a person is a mechanic or something. So now, or whatever, so he's building up, oh, he's building a house now. So he built the whole walls, put four walls up, even came up to the roof. Whole day, week it took him. As soon as it was ready, went and demolished the whole thing. Allah says, don't be like that. وَلَا تَكُونُ. Allah gave us a chance to build up this relationship with Him, to get closer to Him. Now is the time to look after it. And to look after it, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Adopt taqwa, that is the key to everything. More than anything else in the Quran Sharif is the command of taqwa. Repeatedly, right from the beginning to the end of the Quran Sharif, repeatedly, over and over again. And what's the prescription for taqwa? كُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Be with the righteous, be with the truthful, be with those who are connected to Allah Ta'ala. That will bring about a connection in our lives also. And stay far away from environments of sin, environments of evil. Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq, give us all the tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala keep us safe, keep our iman safe, keep our amal safe, keep us safe physically, keep everything safe. But most importantly, and keep reminding ourselves that we have to be safe in terms of our spirituality, our iman, our amal. For that, the right company, the zikr of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The zikr is imperative. Daily the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, tilawat of the Quran Sharif, remaining in the right environments and doing the right things. This is what will keep our iman safe, keep our amal safe, and the barakat of that will keep our life and property safe as well. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.